Good evening. Well, tonight it's back to Baker Street. Back to that unlikely London of the 19th century where high adventure waits all who seek it. In a hansom cab or under a gas lamp in an Inverness cape. For tonight we pay tribute to the most wonderful member of that most wonderful world. A gentleman who never lived and who will never die. Tonight we pay tribute to the immortal Sherlock Holmes. But first, a quick word from our sponsors.
Good evening, drama fanatics. Does your loved one suffer from lunacy, cuckoo brains, or general female hysteria? Or perhaps you are crazy? After all, you are listening to this program. Come to the Catherine Earnshaw Memorial Asylum for the Manically Nutty. We want to pick your brain.
Complete your wardrobe with the new turn-of-the-century corset 1900 from the Kitty's Closet Corsets. Leave your drab 1880s fashion to the Alp and see why the 1900s latest trends are here to stay. The corset 1900 specifically means your body into the desirable shape you always wanted your clothes to make for you. Elongate your bodice and boost your bustier. With our most flexible sturdy bone in yet, now provide structural support with extra strength at the ribcage to help those bones bend to permanent perfection. New embellished cotton cloth breathes so you don't have to. So come on down to the square south of Baker Street to Kitty's Closet Corsets for your corset 1900 now.
My name is Watson. I am a doctor. It was in the year 1880 that Holmes and I were introduced by a mutual acquaintance. At the time, we were both looking for a lodging that would suit our moderate needs. This we found on the second floor of a house at 221 B. Baker Street. And it was during the years that we occupied these chambers together that Holmes established her unique international reputation as a consulting detective. Since my marriage 3 years ago, Holmes has continued to occupy the Baker Street lodgings by herself. And here, almost every afternoon, when my work in the office is finished, I'm in the habit of calling on her. The sitting room as you go in is exactly as it has been for the past 13 years. The worn bearskin rug, the huge sofa, covered with faded chintz, the mantelpiece cluttered with miscellaneous objects, unanswered letters, and piles of loose tobacco. On the side of the fireplace, in a deep armchair, her pipe curling forth slow wreaths of acrid tobacco, draped in her hideous purple dressing gown, sits Sherlock Holmes, with her violin under her chin.
Come in. Watson, my dear fellow.
How are you, Holmes?
I'm delighted to see you, perfectly delighted. Upon my word, I am. But, I'm sorry to observe that your wife has left you.
She has gone. But on a little visit. How did you know?
How did I? Well, I like that. How do I know anything? How do I know that you've been getting yourself very wet lately, that you've an extremely careless servant girl, and that you've moved your dressing table to the other side of the room?
Holmes, if you had lived a few centuries ago, they'd have burned you alive.
Such a conflagration would have saved me a great deal of trouble and expense.
Tell me now, how did you know all that?
It's too simple to talk about. Scratches and clumsy cuts, my dear fellow, on the inner side of your shoe there, just where the firelight strikes. Scratches, cuts. Somebody scraped away crusted mud, and did it badly. Scraped the shoe along with it. There's your wet foot, my dear Watson, and your careless servant girl, all in one shoe. Face badly shaved on the right side, always used to be on the left. Light must have come from the other side, couldn't very well move your window. Must have moved your dressing table.
Of course. But how the deuce did you know my wife was away?
Well, where the deuce is your second waistcoat button, Watson? And what the deuce is yesterday's boutonniere doing in today's lapel? And why the deuce do you wear the expression of a...
Marvellous!
Elementary, my dear fellow, elementary. Child's play of deduction. I'm only doing it for your amusement before we pass on the more serious matters.
Oh? What is it now, Holmes?
Watson, my dear fellow, in the enthusiasm which has prompted you to chronicle, if you will excuse my saying so, somewhat to embellish my little, adventures, you have occasionally seen fit to introduce a certain element of romance, which struck me as being just a trifle out of place. Something like working on elopement into the fifth proposition of Euclid. I merely refer to this in the case you should see fit, at some future time, to chronicle the case on which I am about to embark. The strange case that is Professor Robert Moriarty.
Moriarty? I don't remember having heard of the fellow.
No, Watson, you haven't. It is precisely this quality of invisibility that makes Professor Moriarty the Napoleon of crime, sitting motionless like an ugly, venomous spider in the center of his web. But that web having 1,000 radiations and the spider knowing every quiver of every one of them. And within 48 hours, I'll have the lines drawn so tightly around him that he can't move. I'll arrest him and his entire gang.
Why, Holmes? This is a very dangerous thing.
My dear fellow, it's perfectly delightful. My whole life is spent in a series of frantic endeavors to escape from the dreary commonplaces of existence. For a brief period, I can escape. You should congratulate me. The day before yesterday, I received in this room the visit of a certain foreign nobleman who has recently inherited a very considerable title, and who is about to be married. Seems that this titled gentleman was so indiscreet as to fall in love with a young English lady by the name of Faulkner, socially inferior, and to make her a promise of marriage. Later, at this family insistence, the thing was broken off and the young lady died shortly after a broken heart, leaving behind a sister. Also considerable evidence of the letters, photographs, and jewelry with inscriptions. These the sister kept. These, together with the sister, are now being held in a house in St. John's Wood by a pair of blackmailers who go by the name of Chetwood. So far, as you see, my dear Watson, a fairly ordinary case of blackmail, hardly worth my attention. Last night, on my inspection, a certain element revealed itself which renders the case far more important than I had expected.
And that element was?
Professor Moriarty. Come in.
Beg pardon, Miss Ohms.
Yes, Billy, what is it?
Gentlemen to see you by the name of Foreman.
Show him in, Billy. Show him in.
Yes, Miss Ohms.
Good evening, Foreman.
Good evening, Miss Holmes.
Oh, Watson, this is Inspector Foreman. Since the day before yesterday, he occupies the position of butler under the name of Judson in the home of Mr. and Mrs. Chetwood, the blackmailer of St. John's Wood. Well, Foreman, any news?
Yes, ma'am. This morning, a little after 9, Chetwood and his wife drove away in a four-wheeler. They returned about 11. Bassick was with them. You know him, ma'am?
Yes. When I last had the occasion to meet Mr. Bassick, he got 2 years for safe cracking. Go on, Foreman.
Well, they took this man Bassick into the library. I got a look at him from the outside, and there he was, opening up the safe where they'd been keeping the letters.
Go on.
In the end, when they got the safe open, it was empty. The letters were gone. It seems like the Faulkner girl got them back somehow. That got them pretty excited. Bassick went out to send a telegram.
Have you got a copy of it?
Yes, yes. Here it is, ma'am. It's in code.
Moriarty. I thought so, Watson. This case is taking a most promising turn. Foreman, you'll return at once to the house in St. John's Wood. Within 10 minutes, I shall be there myself. If I remember correctly, the kitchen is immediately below the drawing room. Yes. When I knock over a chair in the drawing room, you'll overturn a lamp in the kitchen, scatter smoke balls, and give an alarm of fire. All other instructions remain unchanged.
Very good, ma'am.
Hurry, Foreman.
Yes, Miss Holmes.
Well, my dear Watson, it begins to look like a most interesting evening.
Now, will you give me those letters?
No, I won't, I won't.
Now, will you?
Ah!
Now, will you?
Good evening. My name is Sherlock Holmes.
Whom did you wish to see, Ms. Holmes?
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Chetwood. I had myself announced by the butler on the way up.
The butler? I didn't... Ah, very well. Oh, here he is. Yes, Judson?
Miss Faulkner begs Ms. Holmes to excuse her. She is not well enough to see anyone this evening.
Will you please hand this card to Miss Faulkner and say that I have...
I beg your pardon, Miss Holmes, but it's quite useless. Really.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yes. Miss Faulkner is, I regret to say, quite an invalid. She's unable to see anyone. Her health is so poor.
Ah, has it ever occurred to you, Mr. Chetwood, that she might be confined to the house too much?
How does that concern you?
It doesn't. I simply made the suggestion. Might like to think it over. What's your butler's name?
Judson, ma'am.
Oh, very well, Judson. Go on, take my card up.
Very good, ma'am.
Well, this is really too good. Why, of course he can take up your card, or your note, or whatever it is. If you wish it so much, I was only trying to save you the trouble.
Thanks. It's hardly any trouble at all to send up a card.
Do you know, Ms. Holmes, you interest me very much.
Oh, really?
Upon my word, yes. We've all heard of your wonderful methods, the astonishing manner in which you gain information from the most trifling details. Now, I dare say, in this brief moment or two, you've discovered any number of things about me.
Nothing of consequence, Mr. Chetwood. I hardly more than asked myself why you were so distressed to see me at this particular moment, and what there can possibly be about the safe in the lower part of that desk to cause you such painful anxiety.
Very good. Very good indeed. If those things were only true now, I'd be wonderfully impressed. It would be absolutely remarkable.
Excuse me, sir.
Ah, Judson.
A message for you, Mr. Chetwood.
You'll excuse me, I trust. It's from a Miss Faulkner. Well, really, she begs to be allowed to see you. Holmes, she absolutely implores it. Well, I suppose I shall have to give way. Judson, ask Miss Faulkner to come down to the drawing room. Say that Miss Holmes is waiting to see her.
Very good, sir.
Quite remarkable. Upon my soul, may I ask, if it's not an impertinent question, what message you sent that could so have aroused Miss Faulkner's desire to come down?
Merely that if she wasn't down here in 5 minutes, I'd go up.
Oh, that was it?
Yes, quite so. And unless I am greatly mistaken, I hear the young lady on the stairs. In which case, she has a minute and a half to spare.
Alice, that is Miss Faulkner. Let me introduce you, Miss Sherlock Holmes.
Miss Holmes?
Oh, Miss Faulkner.
I'm really most charmed to meet you, although it does look as if you've made me come down in spite of myself, doesn't it?
I thank you very much indeed for consenting to see me, Miss Faulkner, but regret to observe that you are put in the trouble of making such a rapid change of dress.
Oh, yes, I did hurry a trifle, I confess. Miss Holmes is quite living up to her reputation, isn't she, Freddy? Come in.
Yes, ma'am?
What are you doing here, Judson?
I beg pardon, ma'am. I was answering the bell.
What bell?
The drawing room bell, sir.
What do you mean, you blockhead? No one rang the bell.
I'm quite sure it was rung, sir.
Well, I tell you, it did not ring.
Your butler is right, Mr. Chetwood. The bell did ring.
How do you know?
I rang it.
What do you want?
I want to send my card to the real Miss Faulkner.
The real?
I said the real Miss Faulkner. Judson?
Yes, ma'am?
Holmes, what right have you to ring for servants and give orders in my house?
What right have you to prevent my cards from reaching their destination? And how does it happen that you and this woman are resorting to trickery and deceit to prevent me from seeing Alice Faulkner? Through some trifling oversight, Judson, neither of the cards I handed you have been delivered. Kindly see that this error does not occur again.
My orders, ma'am.
Ah, you have orders.
I can't say, ma'am.
You were told not to deliver my card.
What business is it of yours, I'd like to know?
I shall satisfy your curiosity on that point in a very short time, Mr. Chetwood.
Yes, and you'll find out in a very short time that it isn't safe to meddle with me. It wouldn't be any trouble at all for me to throw you out into the street.
Possibly not, but trouble would swiftly follow such an experiment on your part.
It's a cursed lucky thing for you I'm not armed.
Yes, well, when Miss Faulkner comes down, you go and arm yourself.
Arm myself? I'll call the police. What's more, I'll do it now.
Oh, no, you will not do it now. You'll remain where you are until the lady I came here to see has entered this room.
What makes you so sure of that?
Because you would prefer to avoid an investigation of your suspicious conduct, Mr. James Larrabee.
Larrabee?
That is the name under which you are known in Scotland Yard, I believe, Mr. Chetwood. This lady here is your wife. As to you, Judson, you will either deliver that card to Miss Faulkner at once, or sleep in the police station tonight. It's a matter of small consequence to me which you do.
Shall I go, sir?
Go on, take up the card. It makes no difference to me.
A short time since, Larrabee, you displayed an acute anxiety to leave this room. Pray do not let me detain you, or your wife, any longer. I take it you prefer to remain while I talk to Miss Faulkner.
We do, Miss Holmes.
Oh, at last, Miss Faulkner.
This is Mrs. Holmes?
Yes.
You wish to see me?
Very much indeed, Miss Faulkner. But I am sorry to see that you are far from well.
Oh, no,
No? I beg your pardon. What does this mark mean?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing?
No.
And the mark here, on your neck, plainly showing the clutch of a man's fingers. Does that mean nothing also? It occurs to me that I should like to have an explanation of this. Possibly you can furnish one, Mr. Larrabee.
How should I know?
It seems to have occurred in your house.
What if it did? You'd better understand that it isn't healthy for you or anyone else to interfere with my business.
Ah, then it is your business. We have that much at least. Pray be seated, Miss Faulkner.
I don't know who you are, Miss Holmes, or why you're here.
I shall be very glad indeed to explain. My business is this. I've been consulted as to the possibility of obtaining from you certain letters addressed to your sister, which are supposed to be in your possession.
I cannot give up my sister's letters, Miss Holmes. There are other things besides revenge. There is punishment.
Believe me, Miss Faulkner.
There is nothing more to say. Good night, Miss Holmes.
But my dear Miss Faulkner... Oh, I'm so sorry. How clumsy of me to turn over this chair.
Fire! Fire! Help! Help!
What's that? What's that? What's going on in your house?
What is it? What's going on?
Fire! Mr. Chetwood! Fire!
Fire? Where?
The lamp, sir.
Lamp?
The lamp in the kitchen, sir. It fell off the table and everything down there is blazing, sir.
Blazing?
Quick, sir. Come down.
We're coming.
Don't alarm yourself, Miss Faulkner. There is no fire.
No fire?
The smoke was all arranged for.
Arranged for? What does that mean, Miss Holmes?
It means this, Miss Faulkner. It means that I wanted a package of letters, Miss Faulkner, and by following your eyes just now when you thought there was a fire, I discovered that you'd hidden them in the upholstery of this chair. Quite elementary, you see, as now that they are in my possession. There seems to be no reason for me to remain any longer in this house. Good night, Miss Faulkner. Miss Faulkner?
Yes?
I can't take them, Miss Faulkner. These letters belong to you. I find that I cannot keep them. Unless you can possibly change your mind and let me have them out of your own free will? I hardly suppose you could. I will therefore return them to you. And, here's our friend, Mr. Larrabee, returning from the fire.
So, you've got the letters, have you? Now I suppose we're going to see you walk out of the house with them.
On the contrary, you're going to see me return them to their rightful owner. Miss Faulkner, here are your letters. Should you ever change your mind and be so generous, so forgiving, as to wish to return these letters to the one who wrote them, you have my address. In any event, rest assured there will be no more cruelty, no more persecution in this house.
Thank you, Mrs. Holmes.
You are perfectly safe with your property, Miss Faulkner, for I shall so arrange it that your faintest cry of distress will be heard. And if that cry is heard, it will be very unfortunate for those who are responsible. As for you, Mr. Larrabee, and you, madame, I beg you to understand that you continue your persecution of that young lady at your peril. Good night.
Now then, Miss Faulkner, do you give me those letters or do I break your arm? What's that?
Someone knocked on the door.
No, it was on that side.
He's got us watched.
What we want to do is to leave it alone. Let the Emperor have it.
Do you mean Professor Moriarty?
That's who I mean. Once let him get at it, he'll settle it with Holmes pretty quick. Now you worry a minute. I tell you, Professor Moriarty will get at her before noon tomorrow night. He won't wait long either. And when he strikes, it means death.
Feeling the aches and pains of your everyday life? Do migraines and stomach aches and rheumatism? Coughs, colds, or fevers have you down? Or are you just sick and tired from the slog of your everyday life?
Why, what's this? It's Clancy's Classic Cure-All, here to solve all of your daily troubles. Just go to your local apothecary and look for the stylish blue bottle. Clancy's Classic Cure-All, trusted by generations of smart shoppers.
Number?
82, V71.
Correct. Moriarty speaking. Come in, Basic. Your report, coming from Manning?
The whole thing was a trap, set and baited by an expert.
And Manning?
Manning has disappeared.
Disappeared? Sherlock Holmes again. And now this Larrabee job. She's in on that too. And that's where she's made her mistake. Miss Holmes is playing a rather dangerous game, Bassick. Inspector Wilson tried it 7 years ago. Wilson's dead. 2 years later, Henderson took it up. We haven't heard anything of Henderson lately, eh?
Not a thing, sir.
You've seen about that. This Holmes is rather a talented woman. She doesn't realize that there isn't a street in London that'll be safe for her if I whisper her name to Cragan. I might even make her a little call myself, just for the satisfaction of it. Yes, just for the satisfaction of it. Baker Street, isn't it, her place? Baker Street, eh?
Baker Street, sir.
We could make it safe. We could make it absolutely safe for 3 streets in every direction.
Yes, sir, but...
We could. We've done it over and over again elsewhere. Police decoyed, men in every doorway. Do this tonight, in Baker Street, at 9 o'clock. Call her attendants out on one pretext or another and keep them out, you understand? I'll see this Sherlock Holmes myself. I'll give her a chance for her life, but... Bassick?
Yes, sir?
Notify the Lascar that I may require the gas chamber at Stepney tomorrow night, and have Cragan there at 10:15 with his crew. Tell Larrabee I want him to write a letter to Miss Sherlock Holmes, which I shall dictate. Meet me here at 7, and Bassick, place your men at 9 tonight for Sherlock Holmes's house in Baker Street.
You'll still go there yourself, sir?
I will still go there myself.
But this meeting tonight, sir, to get her in the gas chamber?
If I fail to kill her in Baker Street, we'll have her in Swandam Lane. Either way, I have her, Bassick. 2 strings to our bow. 2 strings, eh, Bassick?
That evening, Holmes and I dined together at Scott's in Piccadilly Circus. After dinner, we went to a concert at Queen's Hall. I can still see her on this particular night of the Moriarty case, well knowing that her life was in peril, sitting beside me in the stalls, wrapped in the most perfect happiness, listening to Sarasate play the violin, gently waving her long, thin fingers in time to the music. When it was over, she rose, put on her long coat, and started with long steps in the direction of the street.
Come, my dear Watson, let's go home to Baker Street. I have an idea that very soon we shall be receiving a most interesting visit.
In front of Queen's Hall, we hailed a hansom cab, and, as we came down Baker Street, we could see that the light was burning on the second floor of 221B. We went up the dark, narrow stairs.
Miss Holmes?
The boy, Billy, was waiting for us.
Miss Holmes?
Yes, what is it?
Mrs. Hudson's compliments, ma'am, and she wants to know if she can see you.
Well, where is Mrs. Hudson?
Downstairs in the kitchen, ma'am.
My compliments, and I don't think she can, from where she is.
She'll be very sorry, ma'am.
Our regret will be mutual.
It was most terrible important, ma'am, seeing as she wants to know what you'll have for your breakfast in the morning.
The same.
Same as when, ma'am?
This morning.
But you didn't have nothing, Mum. You wasn't here.
I won't be here tomorrow.
Yes, Mum. Was that all, Mum?
Quite so.
Yes, Mum. Thank you, Mum. Oh, Mrs. Holmes. Here's a letter for you, Mum, on the table. Delivered 10 minutes ago.
Read it, Watson. There's a good fellow. While I put on my dressing gown.
Yes. Dear Madam.
Who thus addresses me?
Why, James Larrabee.
And what has James to say this evening?
Dear Madam,
I hope he won't say that again.
I have the honor to inform you that Miss Faulkner has changed her mind regarding the letters, etc., which you wish to obtain, and has decided to dispose of them for monetary consideration. If you wish to negotiate, you will be at 9 o'clock at the Guards Monument at the foot of Waterloo Palace. You will see a 4-wheeler with wooden shutters to the windows. If you have the cab followed, or try any other underhanded trick, you won't get what you want. Let me know your decision. Yours truly, James Larrabee.
Mine truly. Well, later, perhaps.
What does the fellow mean?
The fellow means to sell me a base imitation for a large sum of money, of certain letters that he does not possess. I shall probably buy them from him. Now, see if I have the points. Tonight, 11 o'clock, Guards Monument, cab with wooden shutters. No one to come with me, no one to follow, or I don't get what I want.
Quite right.
Ha!
But this cab with the wooden shutters.
Oh, merely a little device to keep me from seeing where they're taking me. Billy! Yes, Mom? Give this to the man that,
It was a woman, Mom.
Oh? Young or old?
Look quite young, Mom.
In a hansom?
Four-wheeler, Mom.
Seen the driver before?
Yes, Mom, but I can't think where.
Hand this to the lady, apologize for the delay, and look at the driver again.
Yes, Mom.
But, my dear Holmes, you didn't say you would go.
But I certainly did.
But this fellow means mischief.
This fellow means the same.
I beg pardon, Mum. A message come over from the chemist on the corner to say a man's been hit by a bus. Looks like his leg's broke. And would Dr. Watson kindly step over and help till the ambulance come?
Oh, yes, certainly. I'll go at once. I'll be back in a minute, Holmes.
Billy?
Yes, Mum?
Who brought that message?
Boy from the chemist, Mum.
Yes, of course. Which boy?
Must have been a new one, Mum. I ain't seen him before.
Billy, get downstairs quickly. Look after the doctor. If the boy's gone and there's a man with him, it means mischief. Let me know. Don't stop to come up. Ring the doorbell. I'll hear it. Ring it loud.
Yes, Mum.
It's a dangerous habit, Miss Holmes, to finger loaded firearms in the pocket of one's dressing gown.
I give you my word, Professor Moriarty. You'll be taken from here to the hospital if you keep your half behind you like that. Ah, that's better. In that case, please put your revolver on the table.
You evidently don't know me.
I think it's quite evident that I do. Pray have a chair, Professor. I can spare you 5 minutes. That is, if you have anything to say. Careful! What were you about to do, Professor Moriarty?
Look at my watch.
I'll tell you when your 5 minutes is up.
It is your intention to pursue this case against me?
That is my intention, to the very end.
I regret this, not so much on my own account, but on yours.
I share your regret, Professor, but solely because of the rather uncomfortable position it will cause you to occupy.
May I inquire as to what position you are pleased to allude, Miss Holmes?
I refer to the position you'll occupy at the end of a rope, Professor Moriarty.
And have you the faintest idea that you'd be permitted to live to see that day?
As to that, I do not particularly care, so that I bring you to see it.
You'll never bring me to see it. Do you think that I would be here if I hadn't made the streets quite safe in every respect?
I could never so grossly overestimate your courage as that, Professor Moriarty.
Do you imagine that your friend, the doctor, and your boy, Billy, will soon return?
What?
So, it leaves us quite alone, doesn't it, ma'am? Quite alone. So that we can talk the matter over quietly, Miss Holmes, and not be disturbed. In the first place, I wish to call to your attention a few memoranda which I've jotted down and which you'll find... Ah, here they are.
Look out! Don't do that! Get your hands down quickly! A little further away from that memorandum book you're talking about.
I was merely about to take out a small notebook.
Well, merely don't do it. I don't want it. Got one of my own. If you want it, we'll have someone get it for you. I always like to save my guests unnecessary trouble.
I observe that your boy doesn't answer the bell.
No, but I have an idea that he will before long.
It may possibly be longer than you think, Miss Holmes.
What? That boy?
Yes, that boy.
At least we'll try the bell once more, Professor.
Doesn't it occur to you that he may possibly have been detained, Miss Holmes?
It does, Professor. But it also occurs to me that you're in very much the same predicament, Professor Moriarty.
I beg pardon, Mum. Someone tried to hold me, Mum.
It's quite evident, however, that he failed to do so.
Yes, Mum. You got my coat, Mum, but you ain't got me.
Billy.
Yes, Mum.
Billy, the gentleman I am carefully pointing out to you with this .45 desires to have us get something out of his left hand inside coat pocket, as he's not feeling quite himself today, and the consequence of his trying to do so himself might prove fatal. I suggest you tend to it for him.
Yes, Mom. Is that it, Mom? This gun?
Quite so, quite so. Put it on the table. Ah, not there, Billy. On this table, where I can reach it. That's more like it. That's all, Billy.
Shall I see if you've got another, Mom?
Why, Billy, you surprise me. After the gentleman has taken the trouble to inform us that he hasn't?
When, Mom?
When he made a snatch for this one. And now, Professor, now that we have your little memorandum book, do you think of anything else you'd like before Billy goes? Any little thing you've got in that you don't want? So sorry. That's all, Billy.
Thank you, Mom.
Listen, Holmes, to me. On the 4th of January, you crossed my path. On the 23rd, you incommoded me. And now, at the close of April, I find myself in such a position through your continual interference that I am in positive danger of losing my liberty.
Have you any suggestions to make?
No, I have no suggestions to make. I have a fact to state. If you don't drop it at once, your life's not worth that.
I am afraid, Professor, that in the pleasure of this conversation I am neglecting more important business. If you will excuse me for a moment while I get my pipe off the mantelpiece here.
I came here this evening, Miss Holmes, to see if peace could not be arranged between us.
Quite so, quite so.
You've seen fit not only to reject my proposals, but to make insulting references coupled with threats of arrest. You've been warned of your danger. You don't heed that warning. Perhaps you'll heed this. Up with your hands, Miss Holmes. Up with them, or I'll...
Didn't imagine I'd leave that gun loaded, did you, Professor Moriarty? Here are your cartridges. I didn't suppose you'd want to use that gun again, so I took them out while you were talking. Put them in my pocket. You'll find them all there, Professor. Billy?
Yes, Mum?
Will you please show Professor Moriarty to the door?
Yes, Mum. This way, sir.
Don't ever say that I didn't warn you, Miss Holmes.
No, no, Professor Moriarty. No, I never will.
Tune in for part two and the conclusion of The Immortal Sherlock Holmes, Sunday, July 1st at 6 p.m. Voices for this production included Noel Clark, Brianna Hansen, Joseph Klimek, Mitch Skinner, Tess Weinberg, Kelsey Kuno, and Mark Sheely. Producers for Culture Q are Zach McCormick, Tess Weinberg, Mitch Skinner, and Noel Clark. Our culture coach is Sarah Lemanchek, and host and managing editor is me, Mark Sheely. Culture Q is on the social media, at Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. And if you missed this fascinating radio drama, you can find recent episodes of Culture Q on the World Wide Web at RadioK.org. Thanks for listening, and as always, see you next week. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.